You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi! Welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and I'm producer and host of this show. And we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 14 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just need some tips, advice, or resource information on how and what it takes to elevate your career. Our guests include, ready? Emmy Award winners, Grammy Award winners, Tony Award winners. We have reality team, show business professionals, such as film, music, radio producers. We have casting directors, literary agents, casting agents, PR. Did I say that already? Losing my mind over here. It's a Sunday. PR agents, talent managers, screenwriters, publicists, actors, comedians, singers. We have novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, and entertainment attorneys. Always you need a good entertainment attorney. And then the list just continues. So, if you missed any of our shows, we hope you haven't, but if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to any of our past shows. Number one, you can do the free mobile app. LA Radio has that on the App Store and the Google Play Store, of course. And we also are on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Google, Audible.com, Stitcher.com. Just Google us, LA Talk Radio, or my name, Priscilla Leona, and you will find Question Reality. You can also listen to any of the past shows from the archive page, and that's what you're listening to right now. Well, actually, not right now because we're live, but a little later, you can listen to us on the archive page. Again, go to latalkradio.com and look for the show Question Reality, or you can type in my name. They have a little search box, so you can type in Priscilla Leona. And we ask for a little tiny favor. Please subscribe to our podcast. Also, if you can give us a little like or a follow on all of our social media pages, we would love that. Everything is under Priscilla Leona. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all under my name, Priscilla Leona. Again, my tip every week, branding, branding, branding. Make sure that you keep it simple so that everyone can find you when they Google you. So Priscilla Leona, and give me a little thumb. Where's that thumb? Where the hell is the camera? Oh, there it is. There it is. Little thumb. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show to promote and showcase your talents, your current or upcoming projects, and just help listeners by providing sage advice, we ask that you go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com. That's where we air the show. You want to go to the official website, and that is where you can see all of the upcoming guests and read their bios, watch their videos, go to their links directly. Everything is on questionrealityradioshow.com. And let me see. Oh, if you want to be a guest, go to the contact link. And it's really short and easy. We just need your name, your email, your title, and your website. And then we will consider bringing you on this fantastic, wonderful show where we have wonderful guests, fantastic, just so many cool guests, I think. Maybe biased, but that's okay. Today is no exception. We have my secret agent man. He's so sexy, this guy. Oh my gosh. His name is Jeff Rector. He's the acoustic director of the, not yet, well, I haven't introduced him yet, but I guess he's coming on a little early. He is the artistic director of the Burbank International Film Festival, producer, director, he's a writer, he's an actor, he's a stand-up comedian, a host, a spokesman, and just the multi-hyphenation continues. It's just never ending with this guy. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things today, but I want to start with one of my favorite things to talk about, which is his book. Now, this book that Jeff Rector wrote is called I Was a Playboy Rabbit and Other Adventures. And you're thinking, what? What do you mean? He's a guy. How can he have been a playboy? What? What? There's so many questions. Well, I was a Playboy Rabbit and Other Adventures. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It is the first of many books based on Jeff Rector's life. It chronicles the five-year period in the 80s when Jeff lived and worked in New York. And he was unhappy with his career in Los Angeles at the time, so he moved to New York to pursue his dream of working in the entertainment industry. And he did work as an actor, a model, and a stand-up comedian. He was doing it all. But then he luckily was offered a position at Playboy Enterprises, working for the iconic legendary Hugh Hefner, who I was very lucky to meet one time, shook his hand. His hands were soft as I said, oh God, you've worked in your life. He said, Priscilla, I never planned to. And I will never forget that. That's when he was dating the Doublemint twins, and my friend was best friends with one of the Doublemint twins. But that's another story. That's not a Jeff Rector story. So Jeff, he became, of course, the most hated guy there, because who in the 80s didn't want to be working at Playboy Enterprises as a Playboy Rabbit? A
lot of jealousy.
They were so jealous. They were gathering the hemlock to poison them. They tried to electrocute them, run them over with a car. No, just
it was.
They were thinking it, right? So you can imagine. You can imagine, everybody, the chaos and the thrills and the excitement and the adventure and all the debauchery that Jeff was involved in. If you know, take a peek into Jeff's highly coveted and unique world, being a Playboy Rabbit. But he was one of the very first, and he's got lots of stories in this book that, if that is a topic that interests you, of course you want to buy this book. So I would love for you to buy this book to help our little Jeff Rector out. It is on Amazon.com, and I believe it's only $19.99, but I could be wrong, but go to Amazon.
It's $19.99, and it's an Amazon bestseller.
And it's an Amazon bestseller, too. See, left that out. Didn't know that.
Like you say, branding, right?
Yes, exactly. Again, it was I Was a Playboy Rabbit and Other Adventures. And you can also just go under Jeff Rector. But you've got to get this. Tell us, Jeff, what are some of the things in this book that would...
Well, there's the Playboy Mansion.
Still from the 80s. Still hung over.
There's funny stories about the Playboy Mansion, but it really is an inspirational book, because even though it was a five-year period when I was living in New York, a lot happened. And, you know, I was just coming up as an actor, and I was still doing extra work to pay the bills, and I was a waiter and everything else that we do to support ourselves while we're pursuing our dream. But at that time, other than the working with the Playboy Club, which was a dream come true for any guy, of course, I was Charlie Sheen's stand-in on Wall Street. For 3 months, and Charlie and Oliver Stone liked me, and I had a little part in the movie as one of the stockbrokers. After that movie ended, great ride that was, working with Daryl Hannah and Michael Douglas and Sean Young and you name it. It was Martin Sheen. It was an all-star cast. after that, then I was Tom Cruise's stand-in on Cocktail, because that movie came into town right after Wall Street, and because I had developed a good reputation of being a, you know, a good stand-in to the stars, which is not easy because, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that's they become their best friend, and you know, and they make that mistake, and they're gone. So anyway, it worked out. So there's a lot of great stories, not just about working for Playboy Enterprises and getting to, you know, meet and hang out with the great Hugh Hefner, but a lot of other adventures in New York City.
That was a good time to be anywhere.
That was the time Studio 54 was also in its heyday. So I would, because of the Playboy background, I was able to get into Studio 54 and the area and all these other clubs that were, you know, you pretty much had to be somebody to get in there. So it was a great ride. It was a great experience. And then after that all ended, I came back to LA. I decided that New York was exciting. It was fun. I got a ton of work, but I'm not a city guy. And I just, you know, I needed to get out of there. There's a real, although there's a lot of energy, there's a real negativity there too, because, you know, the winters are really harsh and the summers are really hot and humid. And generally that air. And then I came back to LA. So the next book, which follows up, I Was a Playboy Rabbit, will take place when I move back to Los Angeles. And then there's a whole slew of movies and stories and TV shows. Working on Star Trek, The Next Generation, and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So there's probably four or five other books, but I gotta sit down and write.
I did not know that. Are they?
It was a great time to be in New York.
Yeah, I love a good snowball personally. I'm from the East Coast, so I'm very used to the weather, and I miss it, the four seasons. But I can see you being from California. That must have been a real harsh life with the weather. So let's talk about, you've got lots of films coming out. Let's talk about the films that you have coming out in 2022.
The last film, I did in June. I co-starred with Michael Paré, of course, Smeddy and the Cruisers and the Philadelphia Experiment. He's just done a ton of movies. In fact, it was the third film I had done with Michael. He's a really great guy. Dwayne Whitaker from Pulp Fiction was in the movie. It was directed by John A. Russo, who was the co-creator of the original Night of the Living Dead. So that's pretty good pedigree from the co-creator of Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Red Tide Massacre. I play the deputy, one of the deputy sheriffs, alongside Michael Paré, who's the sheriff. And it's sort of... sort of a cross between Creature from the Black Lagoon and any number of serial killer movies. An escaped convict falls in the water where this red tide is toxic, and it basically turns him into a monster.
Oh.
And then he goes around killing people. Every other horror film, but it's kind of cool, and the effects were great, and I love sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. It's one of my favorite genres, so that's always fun to work a cool film like that.
And when is that? How is that going to be released? Where? To Netflix?
We hope.
It's
in post-production right now.
Okay.
So, you know, it's 6 to 9 months for the editing and the music and everything to be done. But sometime in 2021, probably around Halloween would be a great time.
Oh, yeah, that would be
good. We don't know about distribution. We're hoping for a good release. Netflix would be great.
Yeah. Well, I saw you. I don't know how, but I guess clicking link to link to link. I saw you in a scene.
Excuse me.
That's all right. I saw you in a scene with one, two of our favorite actors, but Albert being obsessed with Terminator, we saw you in a movie with opposite Linda
Hamilton.
Hamilton, yes! She was, of course, from Terminator. Everyone should know that. And so
Terminator.
I wanted... Yeah, all the Terminators. Well, not all the Terminators, right? She wasn't in... Yeah, she wasn't.
She wasn't in... She wasn't in one of them.
One of them. Yeah, I knew there was one. So I want to know, how was it with her? Because tell us about it.
Yeah, she is fabulous, and she's a great lady, and we had a lot of laughs and a lot of fun. Just really cool, down to earth. And what's interesting is, you know, some people know and some people don't know, but I've got an identical twin brother.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that Linda Hamilton has a twin sister.
Oh.
Who I actually met years earlier at Trader Vic's in Beverly Hills. Just happened to bump into her, but we had some drinks and some laughs. And she's just super talented, super cool, super down to earth. She's doing a lot of the CW shows and Sci-Fi Channel movies. This mm-hmm. was an original for Sci-Fi. President.
Wow. Michael Madsen, was he in that? Or
he was not.
He wasn't. But you were in a film
with
him.
I worked with Michael several times. Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like a wild guy. Like, really fun. Hip and happening.
He's a lot of fun.
He's
been around. He's seen it all.
He's been around a while and
done everything. Another movie I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I directed a superhero film this summer before I did Red Tide Massacre. It's called Surge of Power. Where there's fire, Surge of Power is the first openly gay superhero. So they call him Surge. He's got electrical powers. He can, you know, control electricity.
Yeah.
Surge of Power.
Yeah.
So this was a new superhero character called The Smoke. And he's actually a former professional wrestler and a really great guy. And Tim Russ from Star Trek Voyager is in it.
Yeah.
I cast him, Sam Jones from Flash Gordon was in it. Joseph Culp from the Fantastic Four. So we got a lot of... sort of superhero sci-fi names in it, and to be able to direct those kind of and Robert Picardo also, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager. He was great.
Yes.
I've known Robert for years, doing a lot of these Star Trek autograph signing conventions we do all over the world, and that's a whole other book.
Yeah, I met him one time. Very nice guy.
He's a really great guy.
Yeah, he was in one of the films that I was producer on, but there were so many, but he was very, very nice. And then I went to a party at your house. You're always throwing parties. And I met Tim Russ, and I actually met the Vietnamese guy, Dustin Nguyen, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, he was there.
Keep track of everybody.
Yeah, you had a lot of Star Trek people there. And my husband was so bummed out because he's a huge Star Trek everything. I know that you frequently not only have them in your projects, but you have the ability to keep them on as friends, which is very, very hard to do, in this.
Well, everybody jumps from as soon as one production's over, they jump onto another one. It could be out of the state, out of the country.
Yeah.
And sometimes you never see them again. And you know, that short time you have with them on the set is cherished because it's a great run, a great time. And sometimes you make friends for the rest of your life, and sometimes you make great friends that you never see again.
Yeah,
it's just nature of the business. But I have to tell you, I tried doing the 9-to-5 job, and I'm my own boss,
Yeah.
And so
So but tell
cherish,
us.
You cherish those times you have those. With those people, and it's all a journey, and it's all adventure, and every film is different. You're working with somebody new, and so it's exciting to keep meeting new people and working and making new friends in the business.
That's true. Keeping them is another story. Tell us about this sports biopic screenplay, Mr. 59.
Oh, I'm so Guy Berger. He's a legendary professional PGA golfer who was, you know, in the time of his heyday. It was Arnold Palmer, it was Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino, all those great golfing names of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And as a fluke, at a friend's fundraiser, I bought a raffle ticket and I put it in and I won the raffle for a free golf lesson. Well, I'm a pretty good golfer. You know, I've been doing celebrity golf tournaments for probably 30 years now. And so I get to meet new celebrities, and that's a whole nother way of, on the golf course, it's very social and it's a lot of fun. But anyway, I won this lesson, and it was from Al Geiberger. It was from John Geiberger, Al's son. So he gave me. He's a member at North Ranch Country Club, so I go out there and play with him once in a while, which is a real thrill because he's an excellent golfer and coaches the Pepperdine golf team and is a spokesman for Encore, which is a golf product company. But anyway, we got to talking, and I said, I asked him about his dad in a book, and he goes, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of books. I said, yeah, but is there a book about him? And I got the rights. One thing led to another. I got the rights to his life story for TV, film, for all media, basically.
Wow.
And I started writing the book, Mr. 59, Al Geiberger story, but quickly realized that that's a long time to roll out a book and everything. Mm. So I said, wait a minute, we need a screenplay, get it out there, and then the book will follow. So that's what I did. It took me a year and a half. We finally finished it. It's called Mr. 59. And it's not, it's Mr. 59 because he shot a 59, 13 strokes under par in one round of professional golf. And nobody had done that before. That's it's quite a miracle to do that. And it was in Memphis, Tennessee in the summer at 104 degrees with humidity. It was like 115. And so it was miserable. And to be able to shoot that kind of a round. But it's not even about him being a great golfer, because he is. He's a great guy. He's a great human being. And what's exciting is that, we see into his life, and he suffered major tragedy, and then he'd get right back up and keep going. So it's an inspirational book. He lost his 2-year-old son in a drowning accident. He lost his father in the worst plane crash in aviation history still to today. So that portion of the film alone plays like a disaster movie. And it was. He was married 3 times and had some ups and downs and some bad marriages. And so it's really the story of this guy who just persevered, this little kid who grew up wanting to play golf and became followed his dream, became a worldwide professional golfer. And so we're getting the script out to Ron Howard and hopefully Kevin Costner and some other people. So we're very excited that somebody is going to, What's interesting is there's a little part with Clint Eastwood in it, because he actually played golf with Clint Eastwood at one of the celebrity golf tournaments. So I actually got Clint Eastwood. There's a scene where the tournament he wins in is the Danny Thomas Memphis Classic. As you know, Danny Thomas is an actor, singer. He did the show Father's Knows Best at Desilu Studios with Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, who were pretty hot topics now.
Right. And his daughter, Marlo Thomas, was a phenomenal actress as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a scene in there believe it or not, most people don't know this, and if I hope Albert's listening, but Desilu Productions was the production company for the original Star Trek.
Star Trek. Oh, God, yes.
Desilu did it. What? Yes. What? And they did it, and look what happened. It became an iconic series. So I've got a scene in the movie where Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz are going into the commissary at the studio to meet Danny Thomas for lunch to talk about this golf tournament. And William Shatner, DeForest Kelly, and Leonard Nimoy are in the commissary having lunch on a break from Star Trek.
Oh, that's great.
It's crazy. And I tie in Hollywood where, you know, because he knew a lot of celebrities. And yeah. So we think it's going to be a pretty pretty exciting story, and it's called Mr. 59. I'm very proud of
it. Wow, so you're just shopping it around now for investors. So we got a while, huh?
Well, for producers or a studio just to option it and make the film. I mean, they like it. They option it, and it goes into pre-production. It happens pretty fast.
Darn, I want to see it now. Darn, I want to see it tomorrow. It sounds so great.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, God, I'm so excited about that.
It's exciting. It's very, very exciting.
Well, you know what else is exciting that I heard? And, of course, I'm all over the Burbank International Film Festival, but I want you to tell everybody about how I think last week The Batman. Let's talk about The Batman, which Burbank International Film Festival screened, right?
Yeah, we were very, very, very fortunate. It kind of landed in my lap. A friend of mine, Christian Mioli, owns the Cine Lounge theater in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. And he got the rights from Warner Brothers to show some advanced screenings. And so we jumped on it. And we did. We showed it the night before it actually opened nationwide. So our people got to see it before everybody else in the world. The problem was, I got cast in a movie for 2 days, and my last night was the same night of the screening. So basically, I had to go introduce the screening and then leave and drive up
right
to Valencia
to shoot this.
So I still haven't seen it yet. So, but what I've heard from everybody is it's fantastic, and. In the next couple of days, I'm gonna run out and see it. Because
I know we want it. We
superhero fan, and it really looks terrific.
Oh my gosh! I know I can't wait. We want to see it at LA Live because they have that 4D chair that you get strapped in, and it just jerks you all around for all the good parts. So hopefully, we'll be seeing that soon.
Feel like you get punched in the face. There's gonna be a lot of punching.
It's a lot of punching in that movie.
That
theater is wild, though. If you've never been, I would highly recommend anyone go there because, if, for example, we went to see Planet of the Apes there. Oh, my God. They piped in the smell of gorillas and misted it through the theater. Then, of course,
I'm not sure I'd want to
miss. I know. We're like, what? That's. No, but they really make it very realistic. So I'd want to see the Batman there.
What are they going to do? Put on Robert Pattinson's cologne?
And I know. What could they do? They could walk in.
Smells like Robert Pattinson.
That's right. You never know. Now, let's talk about your role at the Burbank International Film Festival. You accept film projects from all over the world through, I believe, is it Film Freeway?
There used to be Amazon, I think, and Film Freeway came along, gave them a run for their money, and basically put them out of business.
Yeah.
So they are the reigning king, and they're really great people, and it's a great platform.
Yeah,
for submitting your films, and super easy because they do all the work, really.
Yeah, so great. Now, a lot of people are extremely curious about how film festivals work. So just very briefly.
Sorry to interrupt, before we get that, let me just remind everybody that we are still taking submissions.
Oh, good.
2022 through April 28th. So
oh my gosh,
you can go to www.burbankfilmfest.org.
Oh good. I'm so glad.
We have over 25 categories now. We have a category for shorts and feature films. Last year, for the very first time, we created a TV pilot script category and a TV pilot presentation for people that have already completed a pilot that maybe has aired, maybe it hasn't. So that gives, because, you know, Burbank is the media capital of the world.
Yeah.
And it's just as much TV as there is film. You know, the CW is right there at Burbank with all the superhero films and Archie and everything else the CW is doing.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
so
people.
We thought
it,
we talked about adding a TV category, and we said, you know, we really got to, you know, get with it and include some television as well.
So are you going to do that next year, maybe, or?
No, we started last year.
Oh, you did? Oh, last year.
Right here, so this is second.
As a matter of fact, when I announced that you were coming on the show today, I swear I got 17. I don't even know how many there are now, but 17 people asked, oh, is it too late to submit my film? Is it too late? And I thought, oh, I better ask Jeff today. So people can still submit. Again, up until
absolutely.
What deadline? Up until what date?
Up until April 28th, I think, is the last day of April.
And when is the Burbank Film Festival this year? Is it going to be at the AMC Theater like every year?
Burbank AMC 16 Theaters. We're very grateful for our partnership with AMC. This year is going to be September 8th through the 11th.
Wonderful.
And my birthday's on the 12th. It was right in the middle of the festival last year. So
yes. Mr. Virgo.
Can enjoy it.
Mr. Virgo. The National Film Festival. Not only do you have the prestige of having it at the AMC Theater, but you always have the best opening nights and the best closing nights. And people should definitely buy tickets to those. Why, Jeff? I know why, but
well,
why?
It's number one, it's great entertainment value when you get for a filmmaker. It's great to see what other filmmakers are doing on the independent stage. You know, we once in a while we get a like Batman, we get a studio feature, but mostly it's independents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our prime mission is to support independent filmmaking from around the world. And we do. We get films from Japan, Yugoslavia, Mongolia. I mean, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
From a working experience, you know, you actually get to meet some Hollywood professionals live. You know, people in the Midwest or in another foreign country don't usually have that opportunity.
Yeah.
To rub elbows with Hollywood. And so it's a great, really is a great opportunity. And after this is our 14th year, you know, I've helped take it to a world-class film festival. And
And
we're still growing and we're still trying to make it the best we can.
Absolutely. Now, you, just real quick, the number one question that I get, and I promised I would ask you this, everybody is always curious to know how is it
possible the answer
for
is no.
Each film festival, how is it possible for every film festival to be able to screen the thousands of films to come in? People don't know.
There are, you know, 100,000 film festivals around the world. And, you know, the big question is, oh, who do I submit to and which one's better than the other? And it's cost money.
Yeah.
And it adds up when I do my short films or feature films, and I just like everybody else, I have to submit them to film festivals just like everybody else. And, you know, it's about $1,000 for, you know, 30 or 40 films that I, you know, submit, because it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, if you think you're going to submit to 5 film festivals and get in 3 to 5, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, it's a numbers game. So you gotta work the numbers. And it's surprising to me how one of my films will get into a film festival and I'll win the best award that the festival has. And the next day I'll get rid of.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
There really right. is no rhyme or reason. You know, you just hope that the judges, they really have good judges. We do. We have spectacular judges. And I always kind of pick a few of my favorites so I can kind of match them with what our judges say just to make sure we're on the same page. And every year it doesn't surprise me that you know, they pick the same good films that I do. And, you know, it's the judging. Who's doing the judging? You know, yeah. Are they filmmakers or are they just students that the festival is getting for free to watch hundreds of movies?
Right. Well, screeners. A lot of people are confused between judges and screeners. First, the process is it goes to a screener because there being thousands, you got to have somebody screen.
Not in our case.
Right? No, not in our case.
They're judged right out of the starting. And the starts. Sundance does that,
right?
Because they get thousands and thousands of submissions. I mean, you need a full team for that.
Yeah, I have a friend that screens for Sundance, and she said there's like 100 screeners,
on
every day. And then I have a friend of mine, Ian, who is the in charge of the Robert De Niro Festival.
Tribeca,
yes. And he said they've got like 200 screeners. So I'm like, Ian, how do you do it? But
I got a funny story. Yeah. In answer to your question, for me as a filmmaker,
yeah,
you know, because you know, there's a lot of film, and of course, you know, you're going to submit to Sundance, and you're going to submit to Slam Dance, and you're going to submit to Tribeca, and all the big ones, right?
Yeah.
But I go. Where would I want to go? So I said, Hawaii? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, where would I, because it costs money, right? You gotta get in. They don't fly in.
No. Nope.
You gotta get airfare, you gotta get a hotel. I mean, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if you get in, you gotta be prepared to go and enjoy it, you know.
Right. And when you're selecting a festival, make sure you try to do a little research, you know,
find
out the genre. What is your film genre? And is there, you know, a film festival that really focuses on your genre, such as Jeff said earlier, the LGBT community, submit to those first if that's your genre. So, because you're going to, one thing you have to factor in as a filmmaker is you have to have a budget for submitting to film festivals. Go, okay, where am I going to get the money to submit to the film festivals? Make sure you factor that in. A lot of people don't, Jeff. And then the film sits forever.
You're absolutely right. And that's funny because every day I'll get an email saying, oh, you know, we spent all our money on production and we're filmmakers without any money. Can you please give us a waiver of the fees? Those fees are what support the festival. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Right.
And the ticket sales, the submission fees, that's a big part of what keeps us going. And the filmmakers think it's just about them. And, oh, I don't have any money. Well, neither do we.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, part of being a filmmaker is you have to be a business person. If you can't figure out how to factor that into your business plan, then maybe filmmaking is for you because you are on
anybody, actors. You know, actors think all they have to do is go to school, become a good actor. That's just the beginning. I mean, you've got to be able to promote you're a one man business. One woman.
That's right.
Business.
One person.
And you've got to look at yourself as a business and you're the president and you're the CEO and you've got to do whatever they, I don't have money for pictures and I don't have money to do a new reel.
I have no patience for that.
You can't run a business if you don't have money.
What do you think
and
you're going to do?
It surprises me. And so in the filmmaking community, it's like, no, we don't offer waivers. We never have from the very beginning. We said we got to be fair across the board.
Right.
And I said, if my parents submitted a film, they'd have to pay the submission fee too. I mean, we really don't play favorites.
No favorites. Just, no.
You're right. You got to have money at the end of production. To promote it, get it distributed, and get into some film festivals.
That's right.
that they're not cheap.
That's who's going to see you. That's what your goal is. Now, I want to talk real quick because we only have a couple minutes, but I want to talk real quick and then we want to talk about your mom. But I wanted to talk about how your upcoming filmmakers panel on film composing and scoring. What's that about?
Film composing and scoring.
Well, I know, but what's it about?
I know.
When is it going to be?
I'm teasing.
Okay.
It's, we're very excited. We have an educational series, a filmmakers panel series. And our first one this year is going to be March 15th. I've got five top composers from television and film. Those like Westworld. We've got an Emmy Award-winning composer that did the scoring for my vampire film, Revamped. And a funny story about that, he was Emmy-nominated. He got Emmy-nominated halfway through the production of doing the scoring. He won the Emmy Award. So by the end of the movie, I had an Emmy Award-winning composer. So that kind of, thank you, Lord. That kind of.
Yes!
Happened right during production, and he went from 0 to 60, and so it's going to be a Zoom.
Okay.
I don't.
How do we know?
They can go to the BurbankFilmFest.org. They can go to the website.
Okay.
It will be up probably this week. Okay. It'll be a simple link. It's free. People can click on it and in these TV for anyone interested in music and doing music for films, because, you know, music is one of the key components in a motion picture.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen bad movies with an incredible score that makes it good. And I've seen studio pictures with a score that didn't seem to work, and it can ruin it. So it is, it's one of, and here's a tip to filmmakers: be very careful when you make your movie and who you choose, because that music is going to make or break your film, and you've got to be absolutely sure that you chose the right guy or gal, because you're gonna be stuck with it. A quick tip, filmmakers: get somebody, pick a key scene, right? Get to the compass a feel of what it would be, and then that's helpful, because once you sign a contract and they do it, you're stuck with it, and you either love it or you don't.
I always say, and
everything I do, you know, if I'm working with someone new, I say, I need a little sample. Here's a scene. Let's see what you do with it.
I love that. I never even thought
that. And it's going to save money ultimately, and the filmmaker is going to be much happier with the end product.
Yeah, I mean, I was just watching I'm not going to mention the movie, but I was watching a movie. It got 4 stars. It was a ton of celebrities in it, and the music was so loud you couldn't even hear the dialogue. And I said, how did this get past the studio? How did they release that? But it happened.
They're looking at the explosion and all the action.
Would be loud, and then when they had to dialogue, you could hardly hear them. And I didn't know if I had a hearing loss from the explosions, and I just couldn't hear. But that's happened several times, so it's very important. And color correction
doesn't make a soundtrack.
I know. And color correction is very important.
As you said, it's worse. Yeah.
Color correction, very important. Well, that's great. Now, we only have a couple minutes, but I wanted you to feel free. I understand that you recently, and I'm so sorry, you suffered the loss of your mother. Please tell us about this wonderful woman that created you and your twin brother.
My mother's maiden name was Phoebe Joan Bortz. And her mother came over from Germany, early 1900s, and she became Joan Rector when she married my father. She just was an amazing woman. You talk about having great parents; they're both great. But we recently lost my mother. She was battling with Alzheimer's and dementia for a while. Her mother died from it, so we had a pretty good idea that she was going to follow that same path. And And she did. And, you know, she was, she loved to sing, and she was singing right to the end. She passed away quietly in her sleep, which is great. It's not great, but it's the best way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, may we all be so lucky.
I know.
But she was just a great mother. And I remember sitting next to her in church. I was 25 and she had kids. She already had was raising three kids. I'm like, how did you do it? I can't imagine. And my dad worked very hard, and she was the, you know, stay-at-home mom, and they didn't have a lot of money. And for years they had two girls too, so there were five kids. And my dad wound up becoming an art director and getting a really good job, and then got into voiceovers and became really successful. But there were years in the beginning that it was tough, and it was like, I don't know how they did it. But they did. They raised five great kids, and I'll be going to Florida in April for her memorial service. So I'm writing those thoughts and memories down. But she just was a fantastic woman. She laughed at my jokes. She supported and loved me even when I screwed up. And especially, you know, saying, "Yeah, I want to be an actor and I want to go into Hollywood." A lot of parents go, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they were supportive, and I am the man.
How's
you see
dad
before
doing?
You today because of her.
How's your dad? I love you too, Mom. I love you because you're Jeff's mom, and you did such a great job raising him. I mean, how you turned out, obviously she was very proud, and so was
I'm
your
not
dad.
Perfect, but I'm okay.
You're better than
not terrible.
Yeah. How's your dad taking it? Is your dad doing okay?
He's taking it pretty hard. I mean, you know, he wanted to keep her at home as much as possible because, you know, you never know what's going on in hospitals these days with COVID and everything else. And it's very dicey. And we weren't sure that was the best place for her, really, ultimately. But he was, you know, her take until he bring in a professional staff. And, she went peacefully and quietly, and, you know,
thank God.
I live every day like it's my last, because we never know when we're going to get our ticket punched. And life on earth is so short anyway that we'll all be doing it soon enough.
Treasure it. And that's the best we can hope for, is to go, at least I hope that I can go in my sleep too. But I know, you know, what are we going to do?
I would just say,
in a grandiose manner, it's okay too.
I would just tell everybody that, you know, reach out to your parents and tell them you love them.
Right.
And, you know, even if you're not speaking or you're having some communication problems, because you never know, one day they're going to be gone, and you wish I was able to say goodbye to her. And you wish that you had closure, and you wish, you know, if you just say,
gone,
I love you, whether they accept it or not.
Or thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
for taking care of me. Thank you for everything. Well, speaking of thank you for everything, Mr. Jeff Rector. I want to thank you for your time and effort being a guest. You're always so lovely to have on the show, as you are in person.
You're fantastic. And I ask everybody to always question reality.
Oh, I like it. And I ask people to go see Jeff Rector, because you may not see from his gorgeous appearance, but he is a very funny comedian. So if you're ever lucky enough to get an email inviting you to go see him, I highly recommend him.
I want to say one last thing, Priscilla.
Yeah.
The very beginning of 2020, I love one dream of mine. And it's a long story. We don't have time for it now. Maybe next time. But I did it. I'm super excited. That's going to be up on my website. I'm going to send everybody a link so you can see it. We streamed it worldwide from the Whitefire Theater. And I'm very proud of that. And I hope you guys can check it out.
Well, go to his website, jeffrector.com, JeffRector.com, or Burbank. Is it BurbankFilmFest.org?
Yes.
Yes. All right. And get your submissions in, buy Jeff's book, and we will. will see you in the future.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.